It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, Cervantes and Hamilton are going to each other and Sawinski.
We have a fight.
With Mike Schopen, the Bulldog.
Knocheck was just totaled by an Iowa State player against the board.
I think it was by Hamilton.
On WGR.
Really a pretty unnecessary hit by Hamilton. Hamilton is still awfully mad. He's being held back.
Number 17, Paul Hamilton. 2 minutes for charging, 5 minutes for fighting, and a misconduct.
Sports Radio 550.
By the way, see that, I'm sure you did, the PWHL is coming to Buffalo?
Yeah.
When is that, February, I think?
Yes, yeah.
Boston and New York?
Yeah, I'm happy about that.
Hillary Knight, big in our house.
All right, good deal.
So I think pre-sale or tickets go on sale on Thursday. I hope I'm right about that. I have it in my phone.
Yeah, you got a daughter that plays hockey. You got a son that plays hockey. Go to that. Yeah, good deal.
I decided I like Montreal.
All right.
A new league gives you a chance. You just pick a favorite team.
Yeah.
Usually, my experience with these things, it doesn't really stick. You know.
Yeah.
Everton did a little bit, but they're just always bad. You know, like the Chiefs. So it's just not really that interesting hanging out with you and Joe and Jeremy and your good teams.
Remember when I was going to start to like Syracuse that one time?
Yes.
That didn't take.
That's right.
That did not take.
One basketball season fling with Syracuse.
Was that like during the half season lockout?
I don't know. They played here. In the tournament, and you were into that.
Yeah, I know I was looking. It was one of those deals where I'm looking for something. I need something, and I think maybe it was that year that the season didn't start until January, because the longer lockouts. I think maybe I was like, I'm a Cleveland Cavaliers fan now, or something.
Right.
Paul
Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, have you ever pretended to like a team, other than the Yankees, of course? We know you pretend to like the Yankees, but like sort of a new league comes along and you just like, let me just see if I can get into this, pick a favorite team and see what happens.
I was just trying to, I don't believe I have. I can't off the top of my head think that I have, but no, that doesn't ring a bell. I mean, when I first decided I liked the NHL, as a little kid, I liked the Blackhawks. When I first decided I liked football, I liked the Chargers.
And
when I first decided I liked baseball, I liked the Yankees, and that was.
And here we are, all these years later.
Here we are. So it was just, and of course the Bills and the Sabres. And we, you know, when I was young, I did grow up in Buffalo, so you know back then I, you know, was a fan instead of a guy who covers things now. So. But, yeah, in addition to them, those were the teams that I gravitated to, probably because of jerseys, I think.
Because
the Blackhawks have still, I think, the best jersey in sports, and the Chargers weren't far behind them.
I think those are, and I think that's a respectable reason, I think those are respectable choices. My thing picking Everton in soccer was I didn't want somebody, like a team that was always winning. It just didn't feel right to pick a team that was, you know, on top. So, but don't give me the worst team. You know, I want some tradition. Uniforms don't apply. I was an adult. It was soccer. They change them all the time anyway. But, you know, find me a team kind of in the middle. And I think maybe the Blackhawks and the Chargers were exactly those teams, you know, when you were whatever age. Maybe better than that. I mean, the Chargers, before we're going back here, like the Chargers in the AFL finals against the Bills championship games.
They were getting beat by the Raiders all the time.
Okay.
And the Chiefs more, but
okay.
And the Blackhawks, well, they were in the West Division with all the expansion teams when I was a little kid. So they were like trouncing them going through the West Division. They needed an extra team over there with the expansion there. So that really wasn't all that fair, I thought. But the Yankees were pretty much the worst team in baseball when I decided I liked them. So I can at least say I wasn't a Yankee fan when they were, you know, winning everything.
Yeah, I mean, that makes it better. It's upside down. If you pick a team that's losing, you sort of, it's better. So good job on that.
Right.
Speaking of losing, I doubt that the data would say that every time we have these Paul Hamilton conversations are off these horrendous losses. Because I know the Sabres do win games, but our last chat
does it feel
previous
like this, Paul, to you? Like,
you know, the Philadelphia game, which was kind of a mess there, right, Paul?
Our conversations are some equivalent of your observations about the Sabres hitting posts. We don't have documentation, but it just feels like it happens all the time.
I'll tell you what, the one thing, win or lose, they haven't hit a lot of posts and crossbars recently. Right. It seems like that has gotten better.
Okay.
But
how bad was Saturday, Paul?
Yeah, it was. But the thing was is, You know, they were down 2-0 because they took some goofy penalties in the first period. And then in the second period, they finally got a power play. And Dahlin takes a penalty and takes your power play away rather quickly because he had gotten beat back at the point. And then they got another one maybe 4 or 5 minutes later, something like that. And he did it again. Wound up with a slashing penalty. And the thing is their power play was red hot and did score a power play goal later in the game, but it was 4-0 when they scored it. But at that point in the game, if they score a power play goal, now it's 2-1. Does that change the complexion of the game? Well, we'll never know because they didn't keep their power play to score the power play goal. So, that was the thing with that. And so it's, at least the opportunity was there to make a game of it, but they took their opportunity away with penalties.
So now it's out west, and the newer injury topic is Greenway here, right, Paul? I mean, what are we looking at time-wise?
Yeah, week to week, and that's unfortunate. There's nobody on this team that causes the other team to make more turnovers. You know, he's been in on the puck. He forechecks relentlessly. At times, it seems like he knows where the other team's going with the puck before they know. He has great anticipation, and that's why a lot of guys talk about liking him on their line, because he will help them keep the puck in the offensive zone, keep possession of the puck, and allow them to get scoring opportunities. Thompson's one that has commented on that before, that, you know, pretty much unsolicited, that he loves playing with him because you wind up with more opportunities, because then, you know, he and Tuck can get going on the forecheck and start creating some opportunities. I mean, Greenway's not a guy I don't believe is ever going to score 20 goals. Never say never. I suppose it could happen. But and he is thought of as one of the best penalty killers in the National Hockey League with his reach, his anticipation, what he does. So they will also miss that, because the Sabre penalty killing has not overall been great. But, you know, he goes out there in the 5-on-3s and usually does a pretty nice job in those situations, and they will miss him on their penalty kill.
And so what is happening with the lineup? Do we know? I saw some news about Tuck, but that seems manageable. Is Thompson going to be back on Wednesday? Are we optimistic about that?
Yeah, I was just listening to Lindy Ruff with Jeremy and Joe, and he says that Thompson looks good. He had a good day yesterday. He wouldn't say that he's 100% yet, and Thompson said that yesterday too. But he said if today he progresses, he thinks there's a good chance he'll play. And Tuck, he said, was yesterday and today, it was just a little bit of an ailment. He didn't expect him to miss, and he said they just wanted to give him the extra day to see if things calmed down a little bit and get him back healthy for tomorrow. So that's what Lindy said this morning when he was on WGR.
Okay, so Greenway's not going on the trip. We think Thompson will be back. I think Tuck should be okay. So we've got Roseanne as an extra. Kulik is still with them, right?
Yeah, Kulik's still with them. Yeah, right. Roseanne, you're in Los Angeles. You don't want to have to be missing. You know, if something happens, you can't get him there.
Right.
You can get him there, but not when you want him. So that's why they just, you know, they needed to take an extra guy with them to have him there. So whether he plays or not remains to be seen.
And flipping over to the defense here, Paul, how notable is it that Lindy, if I have this correct, declared that Joki Haru would be going back in?
Yeah, he did say Joki Haru is going back in. And he said after the game in Philadelphia, because we've had this conversation so many times about the penalties. And I said, how are you going to fix this? It just keeps happening. He said, the only thing I have is ice time, and I'm going to start taking ice time away. And Clifton is going to lose his ice time for that cross-checking penalty to start the game. Ruff already said yesterday he's not playing, and Joki Haru is. So Joki Haru has been out of the lineup for 5 or 6 games, is going to find his way back because of the penalty. I haven't liked the penalties Dahlin has taken, but he is your captain. He is Rasmus Dahlin.
Right.
So I'm not sure he is going to lose ice time for his penalties. But
do you think he should?
I think it's getting there. Lindy Ruff has talked to him about it, and he said this morning they're having another conversation about it. You know, that he runs hot, and that's when he runs hot, that's when he takes the dumb penalties because he loses his head. He took that elbowing penalty a couple of nights ago, which Lindy was furious about. I think had somebody else taken that penalty, they probably would have been done and out of the lineup. But, you know, your brand new captain and sitting him is a whole other animal.
I can't see it getting there. But yeah. Paul, we have, you know, talking about the familiarity of these conversations, Dahlin and the timing of his penalties and him losing his temper has come up, you know, more times than it should in 6 weeks here. Season is not that old yet, and you know that it's a tough thing. But you know, at this point, I would think teams know that about him. They probably already knew it coming into the year. Like, we can get under his skin, so just go mess with him and see if he takes a stupid penalty.
Absolutely, they do. I've seen teams go after him. There's no question about that. He did that in one of the home games. Remember, he went from the offensive zone to center ice to the defensive blue line, tied up with a guy trying to get the guy to fight. The guy who wound up scoring a goal.
Ottawa, yeah, it was Grigg. Yeah.
Yeah, trying to get him to fight. And so Greg just took off and left Dahlin standing there. So now you've got an outnumbered coming at your goaltender, and it's in your net. All because he decides he lost his head, you know, and just couldn't put it away. It was obvious Greg was not going to fight him. And he watched everybody go by because he was flat-footed trying to start a fight, and it's in your net. That's what I'm talking about right there, just losing your head. And not thinking about the situation in the game, your captain can't be the guy doing that.
Yeah, the whole thing, excuse me, sorry, the whole thing, you're starting with Clifton in your example there, is this expected to work? You know, the idea that punishing these guys, embarrassing them, you know, taking them out, is something that will get Ruff his desired result. It's a long time ago now, and maybe it's an exhausted little story, but talking to Lindy that one time 20 years ago when he was coaching the team and, you know, like changing the lines, the lineup and everything, he's like, well, you're the coach, you got to do something, you know, like this is my job here to, if it's not working, is to change it.
Right.
And so this would be his way of doing that. And I think we respect the idea, right, and the premise, but will it give him what he needs? And if your captain is like the worst perpetrator in this, then you're in a spot. Now I'm thinking about the Jets, where they had the two players skip minicamp, and one was a backup and one was Aaron Rodgers, and the coach was like, I'm stuck here. Like, I got to suspend or fine Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
You know, like, I can't have different rules for different guys, and that will make it harder for Ruff to get what he wants out of guys like Clifton if everybody sees that Dahlin is easy to snap and getting them in more trouble than anybody else is. I mean, there's, of course, upside with him.
But as Lindy says, too, the only thing he's got is playing time. It's not like the olden days when we were all going to proms and things like that, you know, you could actually send guys down to the minors.
Yeah, it's long gone, right.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they used to do back then. Oh, you're going to do this? Well, why don't you go play in Rochester for a while? Well, that's not really available to you anymore. You know, as he said, the only thing he's got on players is ice time.
Paul, I pretty casually watched and kept an eye on the game on Saturday. How hard, if at all, would you be on Levi for his performance in the game? Four goals, right? Empty netter to close it out.
It wasn't a good performance. He's not playing up at an NHL level, but I also know why. He is a guy that can't be sitting there watching games for 9 out of 10 games, covering almost a month, not quite, but almost a month. He's got to play. And that's the thing he's got. I don't think those two, Luukkonen and Levi, will ever work as a tandem because they are, to me, anything I've seen from either one of them, for them to be good, they got to be playing all the time. And the same thing happened when they were alternating. Levi was fine with it. Luukkonen was not. Luukkonen couldn't find his game until he got in that streak where he played 9 out of 10. And right before he got injured, before he played the Montreal game injured,
yeah,
he was really back to what he was last year. He had like a 1.49 goals against and a .947 save percentage like in four games. He was because he was playing all the time. But that meant Levi wasn't playing. And I just – and when Levi went to Rochester last year and, You know, Rochester was almost out of the playoffs, and by the time the end of the year happened, Rochester was tied for first place because Levi almost played every night. And, you know, he got his game back because he was playing all the time. So something's got to give here with those two. I just think they're going to have to realize, and I don't think it's going to change, that these two might not be able to be a tandem. Yeah. They may have to find somebody who's probably not this year, in the off season, or maybe the next off season, that's a little bit better than James Reimer. To be with whoever they decide between the two of them is going to be their goaltender, and the other one probably would not be here anymore.
It's not to me, like, to me, we talked about this a week or two ago, even, like, Levi going down almost had to happen here because of this point you're making about playing time. So, you know, absolutely. Then there's a whole nother conversation about how much you want to trust Reimer as the backup goalie. You know, different teams, different settings, so we'll see, and it's goaltending, but it was pretty bad in Anaheim. And so, you know, if Luukkonen needs to play two out of every three or five out of every seven or more than that, even maybe good. I haven't looked at the schedule for back-to-backs or anything, but, you know, one stinky Reimer outing will have, I think, some fans going like, oh, was Levi really that bad? To me, it's twofold. Like, Levi hasn't performed well, in part, I think, because he's not playing, so he's got to go somewhere where he can play. He's still young enough where that development matters. He is not like a all-set NHL goalie yet. So go play your games, and when there's a need, you know, they can bring him back.
And the thing is, too, Reimer's in the same spot. Since training camp started, you know how many games Reimer's played? Two.
Right.
He's played two since training camp started, both with the Ducks. He never got a preseason period, anything. He didn't play at all. And then, you know, he got claimed on waivers and got two games with the Ducks. So, you know, since last year, he's played two games.
Right.
So he's kind of in the same boat, too. Whoever's going to play this, unless they decide they're going to play Luukkonen in all three of these games, which I would semi-doubt, you know, whoever's going to play that San Jose game, let's say, is going to be, you know, a little bit rusty.
Revenge, Anaheim.
Right.
He's got to have some bitter memories of playing for Anaheim. I mean,
I wonder how he felt wearing those all orange jerseys and pants. And
I know how I'd feel. Thing. Get me out of here. That's how I'd feel.
You know what, though?
I like the orange helmets. I like that look with the orange that they've got. I'm a sucker for orange.
Well, he's played only two games this year, but at least he's played 1,700 others before this year.
Right.
Yes.
So at least he knows how to play. Yeah, he knows what to do.
Yeah, he is not developing. Yeah, he is fully developed.
Right. As is Paul and yourself, Bulldog, I would say. We're all pretty fully developed at this point. Sorry. Forcing it now. Paul, thank you. Let's talk tomorrow.
Sounds good. I will be ready to go.
All right. That's our man, Paul Hamilton, on the Western Hotline. His appearances here with us on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
We did get a tweet from a listener listening to us talk about Margo, my pug, and giving her cheese.
The provolone.
Provolone. Like, that's what we have. So He's like, come on, this is what Kraft singles are for.
Go buy the cheapest cheese you can find.
Maybe I'll start doing that.
That might be some good advice.
Cheese, you think she'll make the, it'll be the same to her? You do?
100%.
She'll have the same motivation to sit and stop and things like that if the cheese is Kraft singles.
I want to say, I don't want to say I'll give you $50 if she turns her nose up at the other cheese, but I'd be stunned.
She doesn't have a nose.
Well, there you go.
So that's an easy bet. That's a safe bet as a pug. No, I know. Yeah, she'll eat it. It could be anything.
Yes.
She won't eat baby spinach. You know, making salad, different turkey, tetrazzini. Just drop a little bit of baby spinach on the floor, hard pass.
But she likes leaf lettuce, right?
Yeah, loves lettuce.
Wow.
Out on baby spinach.
Texturally, I would feel like those are so close to being cousins, at least, that just, that's surprising to me. I don't know.
On that confusing note... Sal Capaccio joined us earlier today, reflecting on Bills Chiefs, looking ahead as well. That conversation next. Niagara basketball follows our show tonight at Bowling Green. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.